desire and interest in your prayers today. I'd like to start this morning in the 122nd Psalm. Psalm 122 and 1. Read one verse. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad. I was happy. I was pleased when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When I think back to the beginning of my life, when I was a child, when I was a teenager, the beginning of my life, at the start of the ordering of my life, I was in a home. I didn't have my the home that I was ultimately responsible for yet. But in the early stages of my life, when I look back at that time frame, do you know what consistently comes to mind when I think about the high points of my life? It's camp meeting, assembly meeting, revival meeting, a time of getting together with like-minded people to fellowship and to socialize and with good people, to be able to hear the word of the Lord. Even though when I was a young person, there were times where I was ready for service to be over and to move on to the next part, you know, when you're young. but the sounds that I remember, the feelings, the growth, the relationships created. The changes that transpired in me during those times. Too many to mention. Oh, I think back. And I remember the sounds of the crickets and the open tabernacle at Monarch at night. I'm still remembering when I was young, small, and I still hear these things. Think about the anticipation and experience of being with those that I felt closer to than anyone else. We lived a long ways away from most of our church family, 2,000 miles away. And yet it was hard to explain to the children that I went to school with every single day that there was a people that I felt a special bond with and was connected to more than all else. How often do you see them? About twice a year? How can that be? But you know. I remember all the times where I would watch the clock and the calendar to see how much time was left before it all had to come to an end. You remember? But you know what it is more than that? More than all of that, more than the sounds, more than the wholesome socializing that took place, more than the experience of having fun as a child, a teenager. Oh, I remember the presence of the Holy Spirit in service. The conviction, the real Holy Spirit conviction as a child, singing those songs, hearing the invitation given, feeling the presence of the Lord in that place was so strong and so real and so blessed that it forever imprinted me and changed me as a result of that. Wouldn't trade anything for it. Those were times that had so much to do with establishing who I am. And I have a suspicion this morning that those types of times had so much to do with who you are this morning. Amen? Decisions that I made in life, direction that I took, that you took, seeds that were planted, the ordering of my life and my home had so much to do with those early years of it being a priority to be in the house of the Lord. Did you know that it changed whom I married? I'd be married to somebody different today. Had it not been for camp meeting, revival meeting, assembly meeting. Revival meetings changed where I worked in life. Literally, where I went to work. Great influence from being exposed to the presence of the Holy Spirit where I live. Camp meeting, revival meeting, assembly meeting ordered my life and my home in a way that made a difference. So many areas of my life. Relationships that I have. You. The blessedness of real friends that you can count on. People that you know love you. And that we can come here together and it's more than just people. It's more than just bodies filling a space. It's people that you know love you and they care about you and will be there for you when you need help and prayer. Connected to the same Father. Led by the same Spirit. Revival meeting had a whole lot to do with these types of decisions. The eternal hope that we have today, that goes beyond this world, that allows us as we go through life and we face hard times, when we face mountains that we never thought we would face, when we have to go through fires we never thought we would have to go through, and deep waters we never thought that we would have to step into. But we have a hope of something that goes beyond. We have an assurance of a Savior, a shepherd that cares about us, that loves us, that is promised to help carry us through this life, that we might have an eternal home in heaven. And I am so thankful this morning for all of those that have gone before, that were willing to be faithful and pass down this wonderful heritage that has made so much a difference in the ordering of my life and my home. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." No doubt the psalmist had his own thoughts and feelings associated with this proclamation. And I suspect he was maybe thinking more about being in the presence of the Lord. "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go where the presence of the Lord is." As opposed to, "I was glad when they said, let's go to camp meeting, revival, and assembly meeting." I don't know if they had camp meeting, revival meeting, and assembly meeting like we were used to back then. But the important thing was, is they knew where to go, where the presence of the Lord dwelt. That's what makes the difference, is that we be in the presence of the Lord. But my burden, my inspiration, my heart this morning is on revival. It's on revival meeting because we have that in front of us. And my desire is that when we get to the other side of it, just a little bit over a week from today, that we will be able to have said, "I was glad to have been in the house of the Lord." We've spent a number of Sundays now on the subject of ordering our lives and our homes. In other words, making those decisions that affect and influence more than the moment. Making those decisions that follow us through life. Our marriage, where we work, where we live, relationships that we have, the hope that we have within us, that is a fire within us that causes us to get up and go more than anything else. Those decisions that we make that are more than just passing consequence, but decisions that we make that have lasting consequence. That's been our burden. Ordering of our lives and our homes. Making those decisions that affect the chambers, as we have read in Deuteronomy. Those places of our heart, those places of our mind and our soul, and where they can be filled in our homes, where they can be filled with many precious, wonderful riches. Or not. We have a choice. A few weeks ago, we spent some time on marriage. To those of you that are not married yet, that's a consequential decision that you will make that will follow you for the rest of your life. That's not a passing, what kind of flavor of ice cream do I want to have tonight? Something that will go with you. Talked about marriage. And then we talked about the importance of not forsaking the fellowshipping of ourselves together, the assembling of ourselves together, that we're able to prioritize the importance of coming together with the people of God, that we keep our perspective and attribute the relative importance of things in life that take a limited amount of time and space that we have, that it helps us keep that where it ought to be. And that we are able to fulfill the place in the body of Christ that he wants us to fill. That it's not just about me, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, coming together, meeting together, fellowshipping with God's people. That it's not just what I can get out of it, but it is filling the place in the body of Christ that the Lord would have, because he designed it that way. When I get out of bed in the morning, did you know that it works a whole lot better if one of my ears and one of my arms doesn't decide just to stay in bed for the day. And then I have to get up and go through the day, but one of my ears and one of my arms is still in bed. You know how it makes it hard on the rest of my body when I try to go through the day? It works a whole lot better when both ears and both arms and all the members decide to get out of bed and go through the day. It's helpful because one depends on the other. My leg can't do what my ear does. And it's that way in the body of Christ. And so we spent time on that. The importance coming together. Last Sunday, our burden was, if we are going to make it a priority to assemble ourselves, if we can, talked about those that are not able, and that the Lord has grace for that, talked about the exceptions. There's going to be times we're not going to be able to be here. Message is not to guilt people. That's not the purpose of the message. Sometimes we're not able to be here, but there's wonderful treasure in making it a priority. And so if we make it a priority, then last Sunday the question was, does it matter where we worship? Does it matter where we go? Or is it just about checking off that we went to a place where there was a sign out front that said church? And it seems like that the scriptures teach us that the Lord has something for us that He wants us to get when we come and assemble that is not found everywhere that may have a sign that says church. Lord, give us understanding in those things. This morning, I'd like to encourage us that revival plays a significant part. It plays a role. The Lord can use this to help with the ordering of our life and our home. And so that's where my heart is today. And so I'd like to start and ask a question. What is revival? Maybe quickly. Anyone? What's revival? What does it mean? Stirring up. Revival, stirring up. Anyone else? Being renewed. Stirring up. Renewed. Anyone else have something?
Getting your priorities back in line.
Getting your priorities back in line. Do these things sound important? Renewed. Stirring up. Getting your priorities back in line. Renewal of purpose and dedication to the Lord. I've written some definition here. I want to read it, and it goes right along with what you all have said. Restore to life or consciousness. Revival. Restore. In other words, it speaks of at one point maybe you had something and it was there and it was right, but then with the passage of time, something was lost. And so revival is a restoration. Restore to life. Or consciousness, a reawakening, an instance of something becoming active or important again. You say, well, I do understand what my priorities should be, and well, I feel like I am awake. I don't know that I need to be awakened, but from a spiritual standpoint, revival is also about having our perspective re-enlightened and sharpened in a way that results. And I want to just emphasize that for a minute. That revival, at its core, if it's going to be effective, it should be something where we can say, I experienced it in a way that resulted. So they don't go away the same as when I came. There was change that happened. It resulted in renewed spiritual passion. It resulted in becoming alive where maybe I was losing something. It helped increase my spiritual vision where maybe I could see things more clearly that I wasn't seeing so clearly. And as was mentioned, oftentimes it results in recentering, reprioritizing, re-engaging our hearts to things above instead of so many things on the earth. Change of behavior. Thank the Lord for some. It represents an awakening from the dead, where you come and you're searching, and maybe you've never had, and you're spiritually dying or dead, and the Lord comes and He raises us up from death unto life. Thank the Lord. We've all been there, haven't we? So important for our lives and the lives of our children, the ordering of our lives to experience revival. It doesn't have to happen. I'll say this. It doesn't have to happen in November, the end of the year. We have to wait till the end of the year. Revival can happen beside your bedside, on your knees, in the solitude of your own home. Revival can happen driving down the road by yourself. Revival happens when your spirit gets in touch with the Holy Spirit and allows the Lord to bring life where life is missing. We have talked about a number of times here, preached out of the sixth chapter of John. I'm not going to turn there this morning. But it was where Jesus was teaching His disciples on what they needed to do to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple, don't you? I want to be numbered with the disciples of Jesus Christ. I want to be in His fold. I don't want to be out of His fold. I want the Lord to be able to look down and say, this is one of my children. Right here. One of my children. He's one of mine. And He was teaching many what was required for all of that. And He got all done with that teaching, and He was basically teaching them that if you want to be my disciples, you have to take on who I am. You have to become and partake of me as opposed to going your way. You have to lay that way down and take on who I am. And it said many went away and followed Him no more. Who did it say went away from Him? What did it say? Did it say those that didn't believe in Him in the first place went somewhere else where there was something more interesting being talked about? What? Disciples? Isn't that sad? It's always sad to me to read that. His disciples, people that followed Him, people that loved Him. And then they came face to face with something that looked hard. And they said, well, that's a hard saying. And they turned around and walked away. But who is it that ended up with life? Who was it in the end that ended with life? Who was it? The ones that walked away? No. It was the ones that chose life regardless. It was the ones that decided, Lord, I choose life even if it looks hard. Even if we don't understand everything. Even if right now at this time of our life, we're just not there yet. And we don't know how we're going to get there. Because if we don't choose life, what did Peter say? Where will we go? What other option is there that can be good? Leaving Christ to what? No other good option. And we too may hear in our meeting, we may hear things that are difficult to hear. We may hear things that we might say, well, that's a hard saying. And we might feel like turning and going somewhere else. We may hear things that represent difficult change in our lives. We may hear things that we simply do not understand. And we're going to have a choice to make. We can consider it and ask the Lord to help us apply it to our lives in the way that He would be pleased with, or we can reject it. It's going to be a personal choice. There's a lot of noises. There's a lot of voices. There are many draws in the world around us that compete for time and space in our life. And ultimately, we make the choice. We're going to make a choice on what we're going to do. We make a choice that is going to ultimately have a lot to do with the ordering of our lives and our homes. And my exhortation this morning is that if you hear something, and maybe it's difficult to hear, whether you agree with it or not, just go to the Father with it. Go to Jesus with it. He's the one that you're living for. Take what you hear that might be difficult or that you don't understand, and go to the Lord and weigh it against the Word of God. Because here's the thing. If it's truth, you can be at peace. Because it's truth, you can be at peace. If it's not truth, you can be at peace. This is not truth. If something happens that you feel like isn't there and you weigh it out and it's not, be at peace. Truth is not at risk of being overturned by man. The exhortation, the challenge to us is that whether it's meeting time, whether it's revival time, whether it's here each Sunday, whether it's when you're at home and you're reading the Word of God, it's just be willing to take it to Jesus, weigh it against the Word of God, and ask His Spirit to write truth upon your hearts, that we might be able to get a hold of that which leads to life. Hebrews 2:1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." It doesn't say you should give the more earnest heed to the things that you have thought. That's not what it says. "Therefore give the more earnest heed to the things that ye have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Oh, it's serious. I don't want to neglect it. And I'm encouraged this morning to know that Jesus wants to give you life. Jesus wants to give you an expected end. The Lord wants to bring you peace. Wherever you are this morning, whatever you're facing in life, the Lord has a gospel of hope. He has a gospel that helps bring us from a place of death to a place of life. And so I want to choose revival. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then the Lord said all these other things will be added unto you. I want to have an attitude of heart recognizing that I have not spiritually arrived. Is anybody here? Is anybody present that has spiritually arrived? We haven't spiritually arrived. And I want to have an approach when I come to meeting, when I read the Bible in my own time, when I come to service, Lord, I need you so much. Lord, there is yet land that you have for me to possess. Lord, help me not to live life feeling like that somehow I've got it all figured out, as we heard this morning in Sunday school, that I've arrived and it's for everybody else, but I've kind of got it all figured out. Lord, you have land for me to possess that maybe I don't even recognize the land is there yet. Lord, would you open up my heart, my life, that I might be able to receive? what you have for me. So I'd like to leave you this morning with a few specifics as we approach this meeting. Let's prioritize as much as is possible to be present in body, to be present in spirit, and to come with an open heart. It takes more than just being present in body, but it takes coming and being present in spirit. It takes coming in with an open heart. Lord, I'm in need. And of particular note this morning, I'd like to say to we older ones, that we older ones have a willingness and an openness for revival. Oftentimes, and maybe the young people could say amen to this, oftentimes the young people probably feel like that some of these things is always directed at the young people. Why? It seems like Herod's always talking to the young people. Well, the reason is because when you're young and you're making some of the most consequential decisions of your life, those things follow you for the whole rest of your life. And the older you get, the more you realize that. And so then older ones are like, please make the right decision. Don't take the wrong turn down there, because there's so many decisions. They affect the whole rest of your life and your home. And there are these things called avoidable disappointments. There's this thing called avoidable errors. There's enough disappointments in life that are not avoidable. It's just life, and there's nothing you can do about it, and it's disappointing, and you wish that it didn't happen. But there's a whole lot of other things that are avoidable. You can make the right decision. So yes, to the young people, often these things are directed to the young people. But I want to especially encourage the older ones that you and me, that we, that we come with an open heart and an open mind, because oftentimes we need to make course adjustments. The older you get, sometimes it's important that you employ what I call a decluttering operation. Did you know that just temporally speaking in life, the longer you live, and you don't really have to try to, it's like the longer you live, the more things you get. You aren't necessarily trying to, but all of a sudden your garage starts getting full, and your attic starts getting full, and your rooms start getting full because so-and-so wanted to give you this, and somebody else wanted to give you this, and then you thought you needed this, and so you bought that, and somebody else got you this, and as the years went on, you keep getting all this stuff, and everything starts getting full, temporally speaking. Sometimes people just say, I have got to simplify, I've got to declutter. But you know we can do that spiritually? Do you know that as we live our lives, sometimes we can let little feelings and little attitudes start to have a place in our life. It shouldn't be there. We can allow routines that maybe are not sinful in of themselves. But things, well, that's just what I do. No sin in it. Nothing in the scripture that says I shouldn't do that. But it comes in. And then there's this other pattern over here that we enjoy being part of our life. And if we are not careful to the older ones, we can get down the road a ways, and our lives can be so cluttered and cram-packed with all of these things, some of them not right, some of them not technically sinful, but in the process, we have squeezed out the most important things in life. Time and space to develop a relationship with our Lord. And we can become very comfortable spiritually. Well, I've been around for a long time. Well, I've heard the truth preached all of my life. And well, I can sit down and expound, you know, a good part of the scriptures. And well, I've heard about everything that's preached. I don't usually hear anything that's not preached. And we can get in this place where we can be comfortable when we shouldn't be comfortable. We start losing the closeness of the relationship that the Lord wants us to have. So to the older ones, to the middle age, let's be on guard for this. And I'd like to conclude with this. Let's come to meeting with the purpose to be a sower of seed too. Not just a receiver. Did you know that the Lord, and we talk about this different times, He has a place for all of us. You're special. Yes, you. You are special. You're a special person. God has, He has a special place for you in the body that nobody else can fill. He only made one of you. And if that is left behind and it's left to the rest of the body to function without you, sometimes you say, oh, I don't make any difference. Well, I don't have anything to contribute. You have something more to contribute than you often realize, oftentimes just by your presence, especially when you show up in spirit and not just in body. God wants to use us, wants to use you to be a sower. And so I'd like to encourage all of us, me included, that perhaps when we come, that we have an open heart, Lord, perhaps there's a word that you would have me to speak to somebody throughout the course of the meeting. Maybe it takes all of 15 seconds, but it is a word that was spoken in season that is exactly what that person needs in their life. Lord, I don't know what that word is. I don't know the people that may need it. You do. Lord, help me to come with a willingness of heart to perhaps be able to say a word in season. Maybe to show some interest into somebody that maybe isn't being shown much interest. When we come to service, we typically sing and we pray and somebody delivers the word of the Lord. It doesn't always have to be that way or in that order. But when we come to meeting time, we come to revival, we want the Holy Spirit to be here. We want it to be more than just a form. We don't have entertainment. We're not here to entertain. We don't have things that are typically real pleasing to the senses so much. We need the Holy Spirit. And so if we're going to sing, which we will, Lord willing, ask the Lord to inspire you with a song for the service. Ask the Lord between now and when you come, Lord, help me to know if there is a particular song that would be right for the service, that you would lay it on my heart so that I don't just call a song to be calling a song, but Lord, that the message that's in that song would be right for the service. Can't we all ask the Lord for that? Makes a difference. We pray, Lord, if you want me to pray, Lord, would you inspire a prayer? Do you know that this requires prayer ahead of time? Investment ahead of time. Lord, help me. If I'm the one that you would like to lead in prayer, help me to be willing to lead in prayer by the Spirit of God. And if the Lord hasn't asked you to lead in prayer, did you know that every single one of us can come to revival service with the spirit of prayer? So that when we bow down and we pray, it's not, well, I don't pray publicly, and so yeah, we're in this spot and I can't hear anyway, and so we'll get through this. We can all pray. We're bowing before God. Let's come with an attitude of heart to pray from our hearts, all of us. And you know what? When there's a lot of people together, oftentimes there's the opportunity to be a peacemaker. Do you know that? Anytime lots of people are together in a closed space for an extended period of time, oftentimes you run across situations where God has given you an opportunity to be a peacemaker, to say something to help somebody else that might not even be there. We all have a choice to make to the extent by which we allow revival to contribute to the ordering of our lives and homes in a way that results in pleasant and precious riches in our lives. Let's ask the Lord to help us fill the place that He would have us to fill, so that we can come and not only have a desire to receive, but that we also come led by the Holy Spirit to sow. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.